This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. This week on the Relic Radio Show, our hour of radio drama begins with the Sears Radio Theater. We'll hear The Nightmare from May 16, 1979. After that, it's Believe It or Not, with Robber Robbed by Former Victim, their story from December 11, 1947.
That's the theme from the Sears Radio Theater. Tonight, a program of mystery with Vincent Price as your host. Here's a preview.
I can't hide in the house forever.
Well, not forever, just for a month.
A month?
I've been reading about precognitive dreams. The events they foretell usually occur within 2 weeks to a month after the dream.
A month might as well be a lifetime.
The Sears Radio Theater will begin after this message from your local station.
This is Safety Vision, a quick and easy method for observing potential hazards in your home. Let's start by activating your safety scan. Carefully focus on your appliance cords and plugs. Check to see if they're damaged in any way, and if so, discontinue using the appliance. Next, you should focus on water. Check so that none of your plugged-in electrical appliances can be accidentally immersed in water or any other liquid. And avoid handling an electrical appliance with wet hands or when you are standing on a wet or damp floor. And finally, your safety scan should include checking for the UL label on all electrical appliances. That label indicates that the product design has been evaluated by safety engineers and complies with a nationally recognized safety standard. A public service message on behalf of Underwriters Laboratories and this station.
This is Vincent Price. Our story, although fictitious, is based on a true event. An event which our common sense tells us is impossible. And yet, it happened. Let's start at the beginning. It's the middle of the night. The house where Janice and her husband live is quiet, as is the room in which they lie sleeping. The only sounds are their steady breathing and the watchful ticking of an alarm clock on the nightstand. Suddenly, the silence is shattered by an unearthly scream. Suppose someone, like Janice, experiences in a dream a future catastrophe. Is that catastrophe inevitable, or can we control our own destiny? According to our conventional view of time, future events cannot exist in the present. Yet there are those who believe otherwise, who believe in a phenomenon called precognition, in which events occur in the inner psychic world, often in the form of dreams, before they occur in the physical world. Can a dream prophesy the future? This is a question you might ponder as Janice's tale unfolds. I ask you to suspend your normal sense of time, if only to better understand the torment of a woman who wakens screaming because she had just witnessed her own death.
Radio Theater, a new adventure in radio listening. 5 nights of exceptional entertainment every week, brought to you in Elliot Lewis production of The Sears Radio Theater. Our story, The Nightmare, by Anne Heath. Our star, Joan McCall. The Sears Radio Theater is brought to you by Sears Roebuck and Company. Sears, where America shops for value.
Sears National Automotive Sale.
Now, save $36 to $76 on a set of four Sears steel-belted radial tires. That's great savings on the most popular radial in Sears history. And the Sears heavy-duty shock can help save you from some of the jolts, jars, and jerks. Help save you some money, too. On sale now, only $5.99 each. Save 14% on America's best-selling shock. Installation available at most Sears Tire and Auto Centers. Prices may vary in Alaska and Hawaii. Stop at Sears.
Oh, here I go again. It's time to rent one of those steam-type carpet cleaners.
Why rent? Now Sears puts power in a carpet cleaner you can own yourself. The Power Spray from Sears for easy home carpet cleaning. Power Spray sprays hot water into your carpet, then sucks up the dirty water.
You can see the dirt you get out. Dirt you didn't even know was there.
The Power Spray Carpet Cleaner, a convenient carpet cleaner you can own yourself. Available at most Sears retail stores. Kenmore. Solid as Sears.
For those hot summer days ahead, Sears is serving a refreshment of cool savings. Now through May 26th, you'll save $100 on a Sears Better Series Central Air Conditioning System with an electronic control that regulates the condenser fan to run at the unit's quietest proper speed for the outdoor temperatures. So enjoy a cool $100 savings now. Discover Sears Central Air Conditioning in Good Series, Better Series, and Sears Best Series. Prices and dates may vary in Alaska and Hawaii. At most larger Sears retail stores.
A woman screams in the middle of the night. Is it just a nightmare that disrupts her sleep, or is it something more? Whatever the reason, her life will never again be the same.
No! Oh, no!
What is it? Huh? What's wrong?
Oh, Dan. Oh, it was horrible.
What was horrible?
My dream. I just had a terrible dream.
Again?
This one was different. I'm going to die.
What do you mean, you're going to die?
I'm going to be killed.
Now, Janice, how do you know that?
I saw it happen. It was so vivid, Dan. I was driving on a highway. The radio was on. I even remember the tune that was playing. It was As Time Goes By. The song seemed different somehow. Haunting and sad. More like a dirge than a love song. Then I saw a truck. A red pickup truck. Suddenly it came hurtling across the divider, heading right toward me. It seemed such a long time before it hit, as if time were suspended. I had time to think about everything I was about to lose, as if I were a spectator looking on. I watched that red truck crash headlong into my car and burst into flames. I heard a car horn blaring, and then, through the flames and smoke, I saw a skull, a hideous skull. That's when I woke up.
That's some dream, all right. But darling, that's all it was, just a dream. It didn't really happen. You're here, safe with me.
But don't you see? It will happen. The dream is going to come true.
Dreams don't come true, Janice. Not even good ones.
My life is in danger, Dan. I know it.
Hey, calm down. Honey, I know you're upset, but you're overreacting. You've been so tired and nervous lately. I think I know what's causing your nightmares.
What?
It's this idea of yours going back to school to earn a law degree. I'm sure it's the workload you've taken on. It's affecting you this way. A lot of law students have nightmares, you know. It's all that pressure. And you're under even more, trying to run a household at the same time. And try to go back to sleep.
Things will look a lot better in the morning.
Dr. Green, I was so terrified. If only Dan had just put his arms around me instead of being so sensible.
Well, I understand your feelings. Your husband failed to grasp the serious effect of such nightmares on the psyche. Men often don't remember their dreams, so they don't attach much importance to them. A pity, because dreams can tell us so much about ourselves.
Can they, Doctor? Do you think Dan could be right? Could tension and overwork have caused my nightmare?
Oh, it's too soon to tell. I must know more about the fabric of your life to discover the meaning of your dream. Did you tell anyone else about your dream?
Yes, I did. I didn't fall asleep until almost dawn. I must have slept through the alarm because when I woke up, Dan was gone. I'd missed my morning class, so I decided to stay home. But soon the empty house began to close in on me. I couldn't get the nightmare out of my mind. Like a frightened child, I wanted my mother. I wanted her to make it all go away.
Hello?
Hi, Mom. I'm so glad you're home. I need to talk to you.
What is it, dear? You sound upset. Have you had a fight with Dan?
No, of course not.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure.
Well, then what's wrong?
I had a terrible nightmare last night.
A nightmare? What about?
Oh, Mom, it was so awful. I dreamed I was in an accident, a car accident. There was a red truck. It crashed into my car. There were flames everywhere.
Oh, no.
What's the matter?
Oh, this can't be. Not again.
Mom, tell me, what is it?
Well, I've never told this to anyone.
Told what?
Before your father died, I had a dream. I saw an open grave. There was someone shoveling dirt into the hole. Oh, the dreadful sound those stones made as they fell on the casket. I looked up, and there was the headstone. Your father's name was carved on it.
Oh, my God.
2 weeks later, your father had his heart attack. May God rest his soul.
Why didn't you tell me this before?
Oh, but you were so young. Only 6 years old. And by the time you were older, it was over. Part of the past. I didn't see any reason to upset you.
Well, I wish you had told me.
What possible good would it have done?
I don't know. I just think I should have been told.
Oh, maybe you're right. If I had understood what my dream was trying to tell me, I might have been able to prevent your father's death. But all these years, I felt so guilty. If only I'd...
Stop torturing yourself, Mom. You couldn't have known.
I'll never stop feeling his death shouldn't have happened. Janice, you've got to promise me something.
What?
Promise me you won't go anywhere in the car.
I can't do that. I have to go to school. I have a life to live.
Janice, please, you mustn't. I've heard about people who've had these dreams. Many were able to avoid disaster by taking precautions. I'm so afraid. I don't want to lose you. Please.
Don't cry, Mom. It'll be all right. Please, don't cry. I didn't want to believe there was a connection between my mother's dream and mine. But I wondered if she could have prevented my father's death. Was it up to me to change my future? And if so, how could I avert tragedy without ruining my life? That night, Dan had to work late, so I went to bed early. I was exhausted and fell asleep as soon as my head hit the pillow. Then...
yourself in the luxury of Sears
Super Plush
bath towels. Just one touch will tell you they're super thick and luxurious, with more combed cotton terry loops per square inch than any other towel we sell. Each towel weighs over a pound. They're Sears' largest terry bath towels, super thick and absorbent. No wonder they're called
Super Plush.
Available now in brilliant solids or patterns.
Maybe so. It's the Sunny Bunch Summer for Girls on the Go.
Summer starts for your daughter with Easy Care halters, tanks, tees, and jogger shorts in colorful teams to switch around all summer. And each Sunny Bunch piece has a sunny saying and character screen print.
Top, shorts, and playsets that pack a pretty punch. When it comes to packing sportswear, the choice is Sunny Bunch.
Jump into summer with Sunny Bunch funwear for your girls in sizes 7 to 14.
Looks like it's going to be a hot one today with 90% humidity.
It's the kind of weather that makes you want to drop into Sears for their most popular blend underwear. Why? Because it's a blend of 65% polyester for strength and 35% combed cotton for softness and absorbency, with a two-way stretch for the comfortably snug fit men appreciate, especially in the warm, active months ahead. So drop in and discover Sanfernit t-shirts, undershirts, and briefs. All items available at most larger Sears retail stores.
Doctor, I'd never had the same dream twice, never. This premonition of death just came crashing into my life. It seemed out of my control. I was sickened by the thought that it would happen, that I couldn't keep it from happening.
And your attempt to get comfort from your mother only increased your anxiety.
It wasn't her fault. Think of the guilt she's been carrying around all these years.
Oh, yes, many of us torment ourselves unnecessarily.
Then you don't believe my father's death could have been avoided?
Well, I'd rather not say just yet. Please go on. Can you remember what happened the next day?
The next day was Wednesday. I don't have any classes that day and usually play tennis with a girlfriend. I didn't want to go, but I thought the exercise might help take my mind off the nightmare. I got as far as the garage. I can't do it. I can't even get in the car. I'll have to call Stacy.
Hello?
Hi, Stacy. It's Janice.
Hi, Janice. I hope you're not going to say you can't play today. It's my turn to win.
Well,
Are you sick?
No, I'm not sick.
Well, then what's your excuse at the last minute?
Well, I didn't say I couldn't make it today. It's just that, my car won't start, and Dan took the other one to the office.
Why didn't you say so in the first place? I'll come pick you up. Be right over. Bye now.
Bye.
You look tired, Jan. Are you all right?
Yes, I'm fine. I didn't get much sleep last night, that's all.
How does Dan feel about you going back to school?
Well, he thinks I should take some time off.
Yeah, figures. Man is basically...
Stacy! Pull over! Quick!
Why, is a cop behind us?
No, it's a truck. A red truck.
What?
Oh, it's coming closer. Stacy, stop the car, please!
Okay, pull over.
He's gone past.
Janice, what's wrong?
Nothing. It's nothing.
Nothing? You just about left your seat when you saw that truck. Why did it frighten you like that?
Stacy, is the radio on?
No, I never turn it on when there's traffic.
Do you hear music?
No, I don't hear anything.
Listen, can you hear it now?
Janice, have you gone crazy?
It's stopped now.
You're not acting this way just because you're tired. Please tell me what's the matter.
I'm not feeling very well. Would you mind if we didn't play today? I don't think I'm up to it.
Oh, of course not. I'll take you home.
Maybe we can play on Saturday instead. I'm sure I'll feel better by then. I have to feel better. Seeing that red truck shook me terribly. I felt pursued, like a helpless animal that had somehow learned it was going to be slaughtered. Deep within my being, there was a clock ticking my time away. I hadn't told Dan about the nightmare returning. I knew I couldn't tell him about the red truck or the song. I found myself dreading his return that evening.
How are you feeling?
Fine. Just fine.
Honey, are you sure you're okay? You seem so...
I'm fine. I'm just tired, that's all.
It's that nightmare you had, isn't it?
No. Well, yes.
You know, Jan, this school thing is just not working out. It's taking too big a toll on you.
Dan, please, I didn't even go to school today. But you know how important it is for me to do something useful with my life.
I know it is, hon, but don't I mean something to you?
What kind of a question is that? Of course you do.
I don't know. When we got married, we promised each other always to be there when the other one needed us. But you've been so busy with school and now with this nightmare thing. Darling, I hardly know you anymore.
How do you know my dream isn't a premonition?
I just know. Things like that just don't happen in the real world.
I talked to my mother yesterday.
Oh, your mother.
Wait, let me tell you what she said.
Okay. What did she have to say this time?
She told me she had a premonition of Daddy's death in a dream.
What?
It's true.
Why didn't she tell you this before?
She was afraid to. She was guilty.
Honey, You know what a neurotic your mother is, and these last few years she's been getting a little senile. She probably made the whole thing up.
She didn't. She told me.
All right, all right. But whatever she said, true or not, I don't want you to end up like her, always worrying and afraid of everything.
Dan, don't you understand? I am afraid. I'm afraid I'm going to die.
Sears Radio Theater will continue after this message from your local station.
This is Lucille Ball, here to make a personal appeal to every American. Since the 1880s, the American Red Cross has been stepping in when there's been big trouble, like a hurricane. But nobody has to tell you the Red Cross is there when a hurricane strikes. So let's talk about the other Red Cross, your neighborhood Red Cross. They teach kids to swim.
Kid, that's good, Eddie.
And they train about every lifeguard on every beach.
I think it's possible to look into it. We can get in touch with the local chapter.
They help veterans get on their feet. They help people relocate after fires.
Are you comfortable? Okay, now relax.
They collect and distribute blood. They give a hand to the older folks in your town and do scores of other jobs.
It's running very nice. What?
It's easy to see why we've got to have Red Cross, and only you can keep Red Cross ready for the little emergencies in your neighborhood and the big ones. Help keep Red Cross ready.
Lucky?
Yeah, I was lucky. It happened in my own living room, and Rusty knew how to do CPR.
What's that?
CPR stands for cardiopulmonary resuscitation, and Rusty learned it at school. They teach him how to do chest compression and mouth-to-mouth breathing for people who've had heart attacks with electric shocks.
You mean your kid saved your life?
Well, he kept me going until the ambulance arrived. I probably wouldn't be here now if Rusty hadn't known CPR.
Cardiopulmonary resuscitation, or CPR, was pioneered and developed by the American Heart Association to sustain lives until advanced cardiac support arrives. A person using CPR pumps blood for a heart that has stopped and breathes for lungs that can't. The American Heart Association wants everyone to learn CPR. Contact us to find out where and when CPR is taught in your community. We're fighting for your life.
I knew Dan was trying to help me, but his inability to accept or understand anything outside of his well-ordered world made me feel so alone. I tried not to give in to my fear like my mother had, but the nightmare kept returning, haunting me. Its warning possessed my mind even during the daytime. I couldn't bring myself to go to school that week, which pleased Dan. And I forgot all about the tennis game I'd promised Stacy until she telephoned on Saturday morning. I hated to disappoint her again, so I called a cab. When I arrived, Stacy was already on the court, eager to get started. Good shot, Stacy. You're too good for me today. I don't think I can finish the set.
Oh, I did play well, but you're way off your game. What's wrong, Jan?
Well,
is it that red truck that upset you so much the other day?
Yes, it was. You see, I've been having this dream, a terrible dream.
Nightmare, huh? Does it have anything to do with double faulting?
No, it's worse than that.
Hey, this is serious, isn't it? What was your dream about?
Oh, Stacy, it was awful. And it keeps coming back.
Oh, come on. Let's go up to the clubhouse. You can tell me all about it over an iced tea. Gee, that's a terrible dream, Jan. I had no idea.
Since that first night, I haven't been able to eat. I haven't been to class. I should be studying for midterms, but I can't seem to concentrate. I'm so afraid I'll be killed.
You poor thing. I don't blame you for being upset. But as for your nightmare coming true...
You don't believe that dreams can foretell the future?
Well, if they did, I'd be Chrissy Evert by now instead of Mrs. Robert Stanton, housewife.
Haven't you ever heard of people who dream of someone's death and then it happens?
Well, I guess I have, but I always thought that was just supernatural stuff.
Dennis!
Janice!
Mom, what are you doing here?
Oh, I've been calling all morning. I couldn't believe you'd gone out. I called Professor Peterson and he said you weren't in class, so I came here.
Hello, Marion.
Stacy, why did you let her leave the house?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know.
Mom, I can't hide in the house forever.
Well, not forever. Just for a month.
A month?
I've been reading about precognitive dreams. The events they foretell usually occur within 2 weeks to a month after the dream.
A month might as well be a lifetime.
Do you really believe Janice's life is in danger, Marion?
Yes, I do. But if she'll only try to protect herself, I know she'll be all right. Oh, you must be careful, darling.
I will, Mom.
Now, promise me you won't do this again.
Mom!
Promise me.
Okay, I promise.
Sit down, Mary, and have some nice tea with us.
Oh, thank you. I'll sit for a minute, but I'm too jittery to drink anything.
Do you hear that?
What?
That music. Where's it coming from?
I don't hear anything.
It's the same song, the one in my nightmare.
You must be imagining.
No, it can't be my imagination. It's so clear.
What's the matter?
It stopped.
What is this song you hear?
It's the same one that was playing on the car radio right before the crash.
What's the name of it?
It's As Time Goes By.
Oh, no.
Mom, what is it? Does it mean something to you?
That was your father's favorite song. He used to play it on the piano.
I was stunned by my mother's revelation, but I tried not to let her know. She was so upset herself. She didn't want to leave me, but I insisted she go home. After Mom left, Stacy made a suggestion that reinforced my growing fear that I was losing my mind.
Jan, I'm worried about you. Maybe you should see someone.
See someone? What do you mean?
I mean, well, you seem so upset, and hearing that song... Maybe if you saw a psychiatrist.
Do you think I'm crazy?
I didn't say that. But you do need help. Can't you see that?
Yes, I guess I do need help.
If you don't want to see a psychiatrist, why don't you talk to Reverend Michaels? Maybe he can help.
But I haven't been to church in so long. I don't know if he'd see me.
Oh, of course he will. I'll drive you over.
Not knowing where else to turn, I let Stacy drive me to see Reverend Michaels. As the car pulled up in front of the rectory, the pastor was outside in the garden. Cultivating roses was his favorite pastime. Mom used to say it was almost as important to him as saving souls.
Why, Janice, my dear, how good to see you again. It's been so long.
I know. I'm sorry.
Hey, come look at this Charlotte Armstrong. It's a perfect specimen. There. Look at that color. Have you ever seen anything so glorious?
It's beautiful.
Janice, you seem troubled. What is it, my dear?
Reverend Michaels, I'm so frightened. I've been having this nightmare.
Well, now, first, come, let's sit down. There's a bench right over here. Those old bones of mine are starting to creak. Now... tell me about this nightmare of yours.
And then, through the flames and smoke, I saw a skull.
Dear God, what a fearful dream.
I'm sure it's an omen. Oh, Reverend, you must help me.
There, now. What makes you think this dream is prophetic?
I don't know. It's just a feeling. And my mother...
Ah, your mother, such a good woman.
She dreamed of my father's funeral 2 weeks before he died.
She never told me that.
She was afraid to tell anyone. Reverend Michaels, I'm so confused. I don't know what or who to believe. My husband insists dreams don't come true. But what about my mother's dream? She's sure there's some connection between her premonition and my nightmare.
So you're torn between two opposing points of view. I can understand your torment.
My mother thinks, that is, she hopes, that if I'm careful, I can prevent the accident from happening. Do you think that's possible?
Well, that's a question of free will, isn't it?
It is.
God gave us the ability to make our own decisions, but ultimately, he is the only one who possesses knowledge of the future.
Then you don't believe in precognitive dreams.
What you're asking is, do we have the power of God? No. Now, I'm afraid no man or woman has that kind of power. Our fate is in God's hands and his alone.
Oh.
Don't despair, child. If you have faith in God, you'll be saved.
If only I could believe it were that simple.
It is, Janice, it is. You must trust me. Now, tomorrow's Sunday. Why don't you come to my service? I know it'll make you feel better.
I'm not sure I can.
No excuses now. And try not to worry. I'll pray for you.
The thought that my life was in God's hands only deepened my anxiety about the future. I couldn't help feeling it would take more than prayers to save me. I walked the few blocks home from the rectory. As I approached my house, it was almost dark. Then I saw something that made me stop short. Parked nearby was an old pickup truck. My body stiffened. My eyes strained to make out the shadowy forms looming from the back. Just when I'd realized it was the gardener's truck, a strange thing happened. Through the window on the driver's side drifted what looked like a vapor of smoke. It glowed with an eerie light. Suddenly the light became a glare. There was a flash from two luminous eyes and a ghostly head appeared. And then the head changed into a skull. Oh, no! No! I ran across the lawn and into the house. Phantoms from my nightmare had plagued me, preying on my sanity. But this last horrifying vision plunged me into a new kind of terror. Numb with fear, I confined myself to the house. I became a mindless inmate in a prison of my own making. Or was it a madhouse?
Janice, you can't go on like this. You've lost so much weight. You haven't been out of that robe in a week. What are you trying to do to yourself?
I'm not trying to do anything. I can't help it. I'm just so afraid.
Honey, you've got me worried sick. I want you to do something for me.
What is it?
I want you to see a psychiatrist.
You too? You think I'm mentally ill, don't you?
Of course not. But you need someone to get you over this.
No one can help me.
Darling, you've got to try.
All right, Dan. I'll do whatever you say.
Good girl. Now, I found out about a Dr. Green from Frank.
Frank?
Surely you haven't forgotten Frank from the office?
Oh, yes, from the office.
He recommends this Dr. Green highly. I've got the number in my wallet. Here it is.
I'll call this afternoon.
Honey, please, do it now, before it's too late.
All right. Hello? My name is Janice Craig. I'd like to make an appointment to see Dr. Green.
Nearly everyone at our party mentioned our new Sears Dream Supreme carpeting.
Didn't anyone say anything about my rutabaga dip?
Marvin said Dream Supreme looks so thick and luxurious. He loved its velvety soft plush pile.
What about my rutabaga dip?
Eloise adored the color.
Of my rutabaga dip?
I told her that avocado lime is just one of Dream Supreme's 20 lustrous colors, and when Doris heard that Dream Supreme is so reasonably priced and treated with Scotchgard brand fabric protector...
Okay, what about my tuna fish upside down cake?
Dream Supreme carpeting in most larger Sears retail stores.
Sears National Automotive Sale. Now, save $36 to $76 on a set of four Sears steel-belted radial tires. That's great savings on the most popular radial in Sears history. And the Sears heavy-duty shock can help save you from some of the jolts, chars, and jerks. Help save you some money, too. On sale now, only $5.99 each. Save 14% on America's best-selling shock. Installation available at most Sears Tire and Auto Centers. Prices may vary in Alaska and Hawaii. Stop at Sears.
This is my first night camping with my family of five. Now I'm really glad I packed my Sears family-style tent. It's Sears' best tent, tested by Sir Edmund Hillary, the first man to conquer Mount Everest. This tent stands 6 feet 9 inches in the center and has a sewn-in 10 by 14-foot floor. It sleeps 8, plenty of room for my family, and even the dog. We like the windows that can be zipped shut from the inside, and this large front canopy. Sears' best family-style tent is built to be lived in, and if it's good enough for Hillary, it's good enough for my family at most larger Sears retail stores.
Vincent Price again. And here's the concluding act of The Nightmare.
So that's how I came to be here, Dr. Green. I've told you everything that's happened since the first nightmare.
Well, I'm glad you decided to see me. I only wish you'd come sooner. It might have saved you a lot of anguish.
What do you mean?
Well, I think your dream has a very logical explanation.
You do? Oh, Doctor, I want so much to believe that.
Well, you see, Freud felt that all dreams are a form of wish fulfillment.
Are you saying that I wanted to die?
No, on the contrary. The fear that has been paralyzing you is not really produced by the accident in your dream.
I don't understand.
Let me see if I can make it clearer. In anxiety dreams, the anxiety comes from a source other than a perceivable one.
What source? I mean, what could possibly make me dream anything so horrible?
Well, dreams such as yours are often a form of punishment.
But why?
In such dreams, an unconscious wish is being fulfilled. A wish that the dreamer be punished for a forbidden desire. In your case, a desire to become a lawyer against the supposed better judgment of your husband.
But what about my mother's dream? She did foresee my father's death, didn't she?
Oh, you said your father died of a heart attack.
Yes, he did.
Well, more than likely, your mother was suppressing a deep anxiety about the condition of your father's heart. In her dream, this anxiety simply broke through and staged his death. There was no precognition.
Then you don't believe I'm going to die?
Oh, eventually, yes, but not as you saw it in your dream. Yours is a classic case of psychoneurosis brought on by an unconscious desire to punish. The only unusual aspect here is the extent to which your dream has traumatized you. The conflict you felt about your decision to return to school must have been immense, even though it was largely unconscious. What higher price could you pay for your crime than death itself?
Your explanation sounds so logical.
Logic and reason are the best tools psychology has to repair a damaged psyche.
Doctor, will I have the nightmare again?
Well, now that you are aware of its causes, your dream probably will not return. But you must get back on your feet again. You must learn to deal openly with the conflicts in your life. Otherwise, your unconscious mind will seek another form of punishment. Next time, you might not be able to recover, even with my help.
It all seems so clear now. I will get back on my feet. For the first time in 2 weeks, I feel like I can. I don't know how to thank you, Doctor.
You can thank me by recovering and staying well.
I'll try. I will. Oh,
good, good. No, I'm afraid our time is up for today. Just remember, I'm here if you need me.
Thank you. But I'm sure I won't need your help anymore.
Goodbye, then. And good luck.
Goodbye, Dr. Green.
Beckwith, Sten and Craig, may I help you?
Yes, I'd like to speak to Mr. Craig.
May I ask who's calling?
It's Mrs. Craig.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Craig. Just one moment. I'll put you through to his office.
Hi, hon. How are you doing?
Much better, darling. Much, much better.
Ah, you sound better. How was your session with Dr. Green?
It was, as you would say, very productive. He made me see why I had the dream and why it had such an effect on me.
Oh, hon, I'm glad.
I'm sorry I've been so hard to live with. You know, you may have been right. Maybe I was taking on too much too soon.
You do sound better. You don't know how relieved I am to hear you talking like this. Hey, how about driving into town and meeting me for lunch?
You mean today?
Yes, today, right now. You're not still afraid to drive the car, are you?
No. No, of course not.
Then it's a date. I'll even take an extra half hour for lunch. After all, this is a special occasion, right?
Right.
I'll meet you at Chez Renee's at 1 o'clock. And Janice?
Yes?
Wear that blue dress, the one with the lace collar. You're a knockout in that dress.
All right. See you at 1, then.
Au revoir, ma chérie.
Goodbye, Dan. Oh, darn. I better answer that phone. It might be Dan again. Hello?
Janice! What took you so long to answer?
I was just on my way out, Mom.
Out? Oh, no, you mustn't.
Don't worry. Everything's all right now. Dr. Green explained my nightmare. It was just an anxiety dream.
An anxiety dream?
Yes. I haven't time to explain. I'll tell you all about it later.
No. No, it's important that you don't go out today.
Mom, I just told you everything's okay.
Janice, listen to me.
Okay, but please hurry.
Do you know what day this is?
No.
Today is the day your father passed away.
No.
It was only a dream. Dreams don't come true.
I saw an open grave, your father's name on the headstone.
I always thought that was just supernatural stuff.
No, you must be careful. Don't go anywhere in the car.
Our fate is in God's hands. Have faith and you will be saved.
No, don't go out, Janice. Just for a month.
Your dream has a logical explanation.
Things like that don't happen in the real world.
No, don't go out today. You mustn't.
You are not going to die. You must get back on your feet.
Today's the day your father passed away. Don't go. Don't go.
No! I can't live in my mother's world. That would be the punishment I'd never recover from. I have to go. There's the highway. Up ahead. All those cars. Speeding toward their certain destinations. Might as well be a raging river. I have to overcome this obstacle, or I'll never feel normal again. I'm so tense. I'll never make it this way. Steady now, steady. Just stay here in the right lane. Let them all go by. Nothing to be afraid of. It's just a road. It was only a dream. Only a dream. What's that? Oh, a huge trailer truck. Oh, and he's bearing down on me. Why doesn't he go around? Why are his lights flashing? He's closing fast. I better pull off before he overruns me. Oh, no! No, no! He's not slowing down! Oh, he's gone. I've got to get a grip on myself. Maybe the radio will help. I must relax. I've got to stay alert. I've got to be steady. Ready just in case. In case what? Nothing's going to happen. I'm not going to die. Oh, no. Up ahead, that looks like... Oh, it is. It's a red pickup truck. It's coming closer. It's coming closer. It's moving into the passing lane. It's starting to swerve this way. It's going by. Oh, there's the street where I turn off. Thank God. It's over. My nightmare is over.
Janice, you look wonderful.
I feel wonderful.
How was the ride in?
Terrifying. I can admit that to you now because I made it. But for a while, I didn't think I would. It was the longest ride of my life.
I'm proud of you, hon. I know what a grip this thing's had on you. How real it seemed. Now do you realize it was only a dream?
Yes, Dan. It was only a dream. A terrible dream.
I think a toast is in order.
A toast?
A toast to you, my beautiful wife, who's come back to me safe and sound.
Let's forget these last 2 weeks ever happened.
The best idea I've heard today. A fresh start. And to celebrate, I think we should do something special.
Like what?
It's been so long since we've gone anywhere together. How would you like to drive up the coast to Carmel this weekend?
Oh, Dan, that sounds wonderful. We could stay in that little inn, the one with the fireplaces in the room.
I'm way ahead of you. I already made the reservations.
I can't imagine anything I'd like better. You've made me so happy, darling.
No happier than I am.
I feel like a new person.
More like the old one. You seem like your old self again, Janice. Well, I guess I'd better be getting back to work. But first, another toast. To our weekend in Carmel.
May the time pass quickly until then.
Another tune to bring back memories on our cavalcade of oldies but goodies, a popular song from the 40s made famous by the movie Casablanca. Let's turn back the clock and remember As Time Goes By.
To do the dishes.
Oh, no.
Now is a great time to let Sears do the dishes, because you'll save $50 on selected portable and under-the-counter dishwashers now through May 26th. Help save on energy while they work for you, too, since the Water Miser cycle uses less water than normal wash, and the Power Miser option dries with cool forced air. So save $50 and let Sears do the dishes. Dates may vary in Alaska and Hawaii.
Almost summer, and there I was, still in my winter sports shirts, feeling the heat. So I went to Sears and discovered a summer sports shirt collection. Some interlocked knits caught my eye with full button fronts in solids and patterns, and they're short-sleeved. This is a style I can feel comfortable in. Better yet, the interlocked knits of polyester are easy care. My wife likes that. Now I'm looking forward to those lazy summer days ahead, wearing my new crisp-looking shirts from Sears.
This Terry outfit I'm wearing from Sears has all the energy of summer. But what was once just for running is now charged up fashion for your whole sporty day. Terry tanks, V-necks, racing, jogging, and boxer shorts in a range of washable colors and styles. In misses and junior sizes, $9 to $12 for the tops, just $6 to $7 for the shorts. Look like a pro at having fun in Terry. Shoo! Prices may vary in Alaska and Hawaii.
All items available at most larger Sears retail stores.
The Sears Radio Theater has been brought to you by Sears Roebuck and Company, where our policy is satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Sears, where America shops for value. The Nightmare was written by Ann Heath, produced and directed by Fletcher Marco. Your host was Vincent Price. Our star was Joan McCall. Featured in the cast were Joe Maross, Hans Conried, Irene Tedrow, Rhoda Williams, and Howard Culver. The music for Sears Radio Theater was composed and conducted by Nelson Riddle. This is Art Gilmore speaking. The Elliott Lewis production of Sears Radio Theater is a presentation of CBI.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau. Are you in the market for a used car? If you are, it would be wise to shop around until you get a feel for the market. It's important for you to find out if the car is covered by a warranty. A used car warranty is limited. For example, it may cover the first 1,000 miles or 30 days. Remember, however, the warranty is as good as the dealer who backs it, and you check his reliability with your local Better Business Bureau. Also, remember that careful inspection is the key to enjoying a used car. Be sure and look for rust, Check the tires, the shock absorbers, and the operating controls. And incidentally, it's also a good idea to take a test drive. You see, by giving the car the once-over before you buy it, you're protecting yourself against a faulty purchase and a lot of headaches after you've bought it. This has been a tip from your Better Business Bureau.
Join hands with people everywhere. Each of us can do our share in Care for Children.
This year, people of all nations are joining hands to improve the lives of the world's needy children. Through Care, you can provide the families of these children with the means to grow their own food, to build medical facilities, safer water systems, and schools. Tomorrow's world is in our hands. Help make it a better place for all the children. Send your check or money order to Care, Crusade for Children Overseas, Box 576, New York 10016.
Tomorrow's Sears Radio Theater will be a story of love and hate with Cicely Tyson as your hostess. Let's listen.
Suddenly everything is oriental. Mysticism, martial arts, flower arranging, food. Oh, well, at least they have not tried to deal with the complications of Chinese opera yet.
So be sure and tune in tomorrow to the Sears Radio Theater.
All right. Believe it or not.
Yes, believe it or not. Fascinating pages from the amazing radio sketchbook of that inspired interpreter of the intriguing and the unique, that finder of fabulous, fantastic facts, Bob Ripley. And here speaking for Bob is Gregory Abbott.
Thanks, Bill Griffiths, and welcome to the Believe It or Not Radio Auditorium, ladies and gentlemen, to another program of those matchless marvels from the drawing board of Bob Ripley. Now we turn to page one of Bob's radio sketchbook, the Believe It or Not quiz question.
And what's the question for us today?
Today the question is, how can you make a can of white paint whiter?
You mean you can make white paint whiter?
Yes, and you're supposed to tell me how. Think it over, and I'll have the answer for our listeners at the close of today's program.
White. I mean, right. That question has me all confused. But seriously, speaking about paint, I had to buy a can of paint the other day, and it sure cost lots more than did a few years ago.
Well, I guess you can say that about most everything.
Yeah.
Just wait till you hear Bob's Believe It or Not dramatic sketch today about the fabulous price of meat.
Oh?
It's a very amusing, yes, and very amazing true story, actually experienced by the very famous Englishman, Lord Pelham. We'll present Bob Ripley's sketch in exactly 60 seconds. But first, here's a man with a message.
The food crisis which Europe is going through this winter concerns not only the life and health of that continent's hungry people. It concerns very much our own national well-being and the future of world peace. It is a well-known saying that hunger knows no politics. And at a time when we are trying to encourage the rebirth of democracy in Europe, lack of food can mean only chaos, revolution, and the further growth of totalitarianism. It is up to us that the people of Europe must turn in their hour of need, for we are one of the few countries in the world able to export foodstuffs. 570 million bushels of grain will fulfill minimum needs overseas. But in order to meet that quota, we in America must do our part to conserve wheat products as well as meat and poultry, the production of which involves the feeding of livestock with grain. And now, back to Bob Ripley's radio auditorium.
Our Believe It or Not dramatic sketch today begins a good number of years ago in London, England. It's early evening, and out to enjoy his usual evening stroll along the banks of the Thames River is a distinguished English gentleman, Lord Pelham, Earl of Chester and Postmaster General of Great Britain.
Evening, Governor.
Who's there?
Where are you looking, Governor? Here I am, sitting on this rock over here.
Oh, good evening.
Hold on a minute, Governor. Hold on.
Look here, old chap. Who are you? What do you want?
Oh, now, there's nothing to be getting frightened of, Governor.
What are you hiding there inside your coat?
Hiding? Well, now, I wouldn't say as how I was hiding anything. Carrying's what I'm doing with it. Just carrying.
What? What is it?
It ain't nothing but a little white rabbit.
Rabbit?
Nothing else. Here now, see?
Why, it is a white rabbit.
Well, ain't I just told you twice?
Johnny little beggar, isn't he?
He's yours, Governor. If you'd like to buy him.
Buy him? I don't wish to buy him. What would I want with a white rabbit?
Well, it's half a start toward raising white rabbits.
I have absolutely no desire to raise white rabbits. Now, let me pass or I'll call a constable.
Oh, no, I can't let you do that, Governor.
Why, you have a gun.
That's right. And I've got a little white rabbit. Now, if you'll just buy the jolly little beggar, Governor, I'll be on me quiet way.
How much do you want?
Governor, he's yours for £100.
£100 for a rabbit? It's highway robbery.
Oh, come now. I ain't holding this gun in your ribs to steal from you, Governor. Alfred Hawkins wouldn't be no common thief. I never took nothing from nobody. I didn't get something in return. Now, if you'll just hand over the price of the little beggar...
I haven't got £100 with me.
Oh, I don't need to have cash, Governor. A cheque will be right enough.
Check?
Of course, I'll have to have your word as a gentleman. You won't be stopping payment on it.
You'd take my word for that?
And why not? You're a gentleman, Governor, like I'm a gentleman. When Alfred Hawkins gives his word, he sticks to it. You being a gentleman, too, I can't see as how your word wouldn't be as good as mine. Right?
Very well, I'll give you a cheque. And you have my word as a gentleman, I will not stop payment on it.
Thank you, Governor. Got enough light there to see what you're writing?
Yes, the glow of that lamp over there gives sufficient light.
Got a pen?
I have everything I need, thank you. Excepting a desk. But I suppose I can hold the checkbook steadily enough. The name is Hawkins?
That's right, Governor. Hawkins. Alfred Hawkins.
There you are.
Thank you, Governor.
£100 for a rabbit. But perhaps I should consider myself fortunate you're not selling cows. I must say, Hawkins, I've never before run into such an unusual thief.
Oh, I ain't a thief, Governor.
No? Then what are you?
I'm a salesman. Here's the white rabbit I just sold you. Good night to you, Governor.
That's exactly what happened to Lord Pelham one evening when he was strolling along the banks of the Thames River. The incident was one he was never to forget. The years passed. 37 years, as a matter of fact, and one afternoon Lord and Lady Pelham were riding along the streets of London in their coach.
And so I said to Lady Pitt, my dear Lady Pitt, how
By
you...
George.
Thomas.
Yes, my dear?
You haven't been listening to a word I've been saying.
Oh, forgive me, my dear. I've been watching that oldish-looking chap in the blue apron across the road. You see him there, walking in the same direction the coach is moving?
Yes, I see him, Thomas, but... Why, this sudden interest in a tradesman.
That tradesman looks as though he may be the very same man who sold me that white rabbit I told you about.
Good heavens, Thomas, will you never forget that white rabbit?
Never, nor the £100 I paid for it. For 37 years, I... Oh, coachman.
Yes, my lord?
You see that oldish fellow walking along to your left, the one in the blue apron?
Oh, yes, sir. He's the proprietor of that butcher shop on the corner where we buy our meat, sir. Mr. Hawkins.
Hawkins. I knew it. When I hear his voice, I shall be convinced. Coachman, I want you to drive up alongside Mr. Hawkins and ask him a question.
What about, sir?
Anything, anything. I just want to hear his voice. Do as I say.
Yes, my lord. Good morning, Mr. Hawkins.
Morning, James.
This is ridiculous.
Shh, I want to hear his voice.
How's the missus, Mr. Hawkins?
Ain't been so good here of late, James. There's a bit of an headache, more often's not.
Well, Thomas, is he the man?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Wait a bit. I say, Mr. Hawkins.
Yes, Governor?
Watch him now, see what his reaction will be. Mr. Hawkins.
Yes, Governor?
White rabbit.
How's that again, Governor?
White rabbit.
Don't have no white rabbit, Governor. How about some nice herring?
Thomas, do sit down. You're making a fool of yourself. Coachman, drive on.
I still think that man is the same Alfred Hawkins who made me pay £100 for a white rabbit 37 years ago.
Well, even if that is so, Thomas, what can you do about it now?
I don't know, but I'll think of something. By heaven, I'll think of something.
It was the next morning that Lord Pelham walked into the butcher shop of Alfred Hawkins. Under his arm, he carried a large cardboard box with two small holes cut into the top.
Morning, sir.
Good morning. Good morning. I'd like to see the proprietor, if you please.
Oh, Pa! Customer's waiting! What's in the box, sir?
Just the bones of old Pig Knuckles I've decided to have re-meated. That is, if you have no objection, young lady.
Oh. I don't know, I'm sure.
Morning, Governor. Good morning. Something... Oh, it's you, sir. Decided to come back today to try some airing?
No.
Well, just as well you didn't, Governor, because we're out of airing. Now, if you'd like to buy...
I would like to buy nothing, Mr. Hawkins. I'm here to sell something.
How's that again, Governor?
He's got the bones of old Pig Knuckles in that box, Pa, and he wants them re-meated.
I really have nothing of the sort, my dear young lady. You'll see what I have in this box.
Look, Pa.
Why, it's a rabbit. A live white rabbit.
Jolly little beggar. What?
Huh? What did you say, Governor?
You may address me as Lord Pelham.
Lord Pelham?
The jolly little beggar is for sale, Mr. Hawkins. And I felt certain I could convince you that you really ought to buy him.
Pa, look out! He's got a gun! Help, my lord!
Mr. Hawkins, the noise that girl of yours makes will bring half of Scotland Yard on the scene within seconds.
Well,
because I have this gun does not mean I'm holding you up, of course. I'm asking you to buy this white rabbit for exactly the same price I purchased a white rabbit from you. £100.
I don't have that much cash.
Ah, don't fret about that, Mr. Hawkins. I shall be glad to accept your check, provided, of course, you give your word as a gentleman that you won't stop payment on it.
Governor, I ain't forgot that you kept your word 37 years ago.
There he is, officer. Catch him! No, catch
then.
Him!
What's the trouble in here?
Trouble? Oh, there's no trouble.
What? Well, Pa, this man had a gun a minute ago. I saw it. Search him, officer. Search him.
Sarah, go clean some fish.
But, Pa...
Clean some fish. Big ones that take a long time.
What's going on here? This young lady
said... Ah, you mustn't pay no mind to what Sarah says, officer. A girl would do anything to keep away from the airing counter, she would. Now, where's me blooming pen? Yeah. How's it spelling, Governor?
P-E-L-H-A-M.
There you are, Governor. In full payment for the white rabbit, £100. You have my word as a gentleman.
Thank you, Mr. Hawkins. Here's your rabbit.
Did you say £100?
Right you are, officer.
For one white rabbit?
For one jolly little beggar.
Yes, you see, Constable, as Mr. Hawkins here himself has said, with one white rabbit, it's off a start toward raising white rabbits.
Yes, 37 years after Lord Pelham purchased a white rabbit at the point of a gun for £100, he produced a white rabbit and proceeded to sell it to the former gunman, now turned butcher, for the same price. And when the butcher agreed to purchase the rabbit at the stipulated price, but did not have the cash, Lord Pelham advised him he would accept his check. On the butcher's word, as a gentleman, he would not stop payment, just as the butcher had accepted Lord Pelham's check years before. In both instances, each man kept his word as a gentleman, and thus were concluded two bizarre transactions for a couple of the highest-priced rabbits ever sold, believe it or not.
In exactly 60 seconds, we'll be back with Bob Ripley's answer to today's Believe It or Not quiz question. Meanwhile, here's an important Believe It or Not that concerns you.
In a world where many nations, under the stress of economic insecurity and political instability, have turned to totalitarian forms of government, our own country stands as a bulwark of the democratic way of life, with its emphasis on the dignity of the individual. However, it is up to us in these times to bend every effort as good citizens to lend renewed vitality to our tradition of freedom. The guarantees of freedom of speech, protection from unlawful search and seizure, the right of trial by jury contained in our Bill of Rights, were won only after grueling sacrifice, and they've been preserved only by stern vigilance on the part of our forefathers. We must become increasingly aware of this, and remember that a democracy truly lives only insofar as those who live under it take an active part in its daily workings. In this day and age, just as in 1776, freedom is truly everybody's job. Now for the answer to today's Believe It or Not quiz question.
Let's see. Today's question was, how can you make a can of white paint whiter? Is that correct?
That's correct. And here's the answer to the question. The way to make a can of white paint whiter is to add a few drops of black paint.
Black paint?
Yes, by adding 4 or 5 drops of black paint to a pail of white paint, the black drops act as a bleaching agent, making the white paint more purely white, believe it or not.
Well, I see it's time to be closing our radio sketchbook once again. Do you have one of those famous Bob Ripley farewells for us?
Yes, I have. On one of his visits to London, the locale of today's dramatic sketch, Bob Ripley called at the home of an old friend. Upon departing, the elderly gentleman expressed a wish which Bob would like to pass on to all our listeners. May you find a new friend every day and hold the old forever.
Believe it or not.
Tune in again tomorrow at this time, ladies and gentlemen, when we'll be back with more pages from the radio sketchbook of Bob Ripley, including the amazing sketch of The Chicken Thief foiled by a comedy of errors. The Believe It or Not show was dramatized for radio by Bob Maley and George Lefferts.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. You can find more from the series you heard today and more from the Relic Radio Show at the website, relicradio.com. All the podcasts are listed there, thousands of episodes to listen to, and a shoutcast stream with even more, all made possible by your support. If you'd like to help out, visit donate.relicradio.com or click on one of the links on the website. Your support makes all of this possible. Thanks to those who have helped out. Thanks for joining me this week. Be back tomorrow with Case Closed and next Tuesday with our next episode of the Relic Radio Show.